Good morning, everyone. How's it going? It's nice to be in. Good to have a thumbs up. Thank you over there. More thumbs up, the better. Thanks, and more thumbs up. Good. People, that will help keep you moving and the blood flowing. If you feel like getting up and walking around to warm up, that's fine. It's all good. I'm going to be walking around a lot as we go. Anyway, get on with it, Chris. So today, I'm talking to you about the big picture is discipleship. Discipleship is something that as a church we are holding very dearly. It's something that we want to really invest in and press into. And in the context of discipleship, what I really want to look at today is character. It's how is our character? What are the things that influence our character? And really the bottom line for me that I really want to share with you today is if we are Jesus' disciples and we are following Jesus, that should be displayed in our character. That if we say Jesus is our Lord and we are following him, we should look a little bit more like him. So that's going to be the bottom line. Everything is going to come back to that main point today. If we say we follow Jesus, we should look a little like him in character. And I want us to start really considering and pondering and reflecting on this whole thing of our character. And to do that, I'm just going to kick off with just a few things that have been going on in our lives lately. As many of you will know, my wife Heather, her dad passed away at the end of last year on the 20th of December, and we had the funeral on the 9th of January. We all loved Keith. He was great. And at the funeral, it was very easy for us to talk about Keith and his character. It was very easy for us to share honouring stories of Keith because he was such a wonderful guy. And one of the things that consistently came out when we reflected on Keith's life and everyone's experience of him was how he loved people with action, how he put other people first, how he was not a selfish guy at all. He was completely selfless. And one of the scriptures that come to mind so easily with Keith is Romans 12:10. Be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves. It was a really beautiful thing to reflect on Keith's life and go, that was so true for him. It was so, so true for him. And just to share some stuff around that, that in his last days, he was more concerned about his family than he was for himself and his situation, as he would call it. My situation, that's how he would refer to what was going on. But he was more concerned about the family, and he had such precious and beautiful moments with all of the grandchildren and all of his children, telling people that he loved them, having special messages for people. And it was, yeah, obviously very hard, but some really beautiful things that came out of that. And of course, this sort of thing gets us very reflective, isn't it? When we lose people, we can become very reflective. And some of the reflections have been, I wonder what people would say of my character come the day when I go to glory. When I go to be with Jesus, what will people reflect and say of my character? What would I like them to say? I would like people to say that I was fun. That would be something I would like to be remembered for. But something else I would like people to say of me is that I was an encourager, that I got alongside people when they were struggling. I walked some of the journey with them, and I pointed them to Jesus. That's what I'd like people to say of me. I wonder what you would like people to say of you and your character. What are some of the things that you would like said of you? And how are you going to impact that now? When we reflect on character, and I'm thinking about character more and more, it can be, I think it's good to think of it sometimes as what's on display in our lives, the fruit that is on display in our lives. What is the fruit that is on display in our lives? Is that tasty fruit? Does that taste good? Or is it a little bit sour? Does it leave a sharp taste in the mouth? How's the fruit that we're producing? And also, how does it get there? How does the fruit that we produce actually get there? What are the influencing factors? I think there's a lot of wisdom in saying that what you cultivate will grow and what you invest in will multiply. So what are you cultivating when it comes to your character? What are you investing in when it comes to your character? And as I have said and will continue to say this morning, that if we say we follow Jesus, our character should really reflect that. We should look a little bit more like him every day. Don't get me wrong, there are times when I don't look like Jesus in character. And there are times that I am embarrassed when I reflect on my reaction to situations. I think some of the things that are consistently an embarrassment to me can be the way that I will respond to my kids, for example. I think there are times when I do not show them love through patience. I don't have the patience that demonstrates, hey guys, I'm showing you Jesus in character right now. And I can be quite embarrassed when I reflect on that. How about you guys? What are the times that you think, actually, in reflection, I'm a little bit embarrassed to say I'm a Christian at that point because my character really wasn't very good. I was a bit sour in that moment. The fruit that I was producing was not really in keeping with what I see in my Lord and Savior as I follow him. It's good for us to reflect on our character, on the things that we are displaying, the fruit we are producing in our lives. I think there's real wisdom to capture those moments. Go, actually, do you know, in these moments, I was a little bit embarrassed by myself. I'm a little bit disappointed with how I dealt with that. There's wisdom in capturing those moments, because if we don't capture those moments, how will we ever change and move on from them? So there is real wisdom in going, actually, I got that wrong, and I need to hold my hands up to it, because that's the start of change happening. I think there's real wisdom also in understanding what are the things that influence our character. I think it is real foolishness to say that we are not influenced by anything or anyone. There's arrogance and foolishness there, because all of us will be influenced by people and situations. By the things that we allow to loiter away in our brains will influence us. External factors will influence us. So I think there's great wisdom in us actually identifying, these are the things and the people that influence me. At least know what those things are, is real wisdom. And asking yourself the question, what are my biggest influences? Who and what is influencing me and my decisions, and what is shaping my character? These are really good questions, I think, for us to ask ourselves. In 1 Corinthians 15, 33, it says this, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. That's true, I think. That's true. Have you ever noticed if you hang around with people who are gossiping, you're likely to get involved in gossiping, aren't you? You notice that? I've noticed that. And then what happens? If you hang around with people who are gossiping, what then happens? The fruit that you're probably going to produce is going to be quite judgmental. That's a bit of a sour fruit, isn't it? I'm not sure I want to invest in that sort of fruit. But I know that if I hang around with people who are going to gossip, that's probably what's going to happen. What about when you get groups together being unpleasant about other groups? What about when you have groups of guys being unpleasant about ladies, groups of ladies being unpleasant about guys, talking people down? Doesn't do us any good, does it? Or what about if you're in a situation in a work context where people are objectifying people of the other sex? Does that do us any good? See, the people that we hang around with, what we invest in, will influence us and influence our character. As I say, if we say we're following Jesus, we should look more and more like him in character. And I'm talking to myself, guys. I want to look more like Jesus in character than I do. I want, this year coming, I want to look more like Jesus than I did last year. Is there anyone else like that? Just a quick show of hands. If you would like to look more like Jesus this year than you did last year. This is a very responsive room this morning, guys. I'm enjoying this very much. Thank you so much. This is good. So, what are we going to do about it then? Many of us have put our hands up and said, yeah, actually, I would like to look more like Jesus in character this year than I did last year. So what are we going to do about that? What are we going to allow influence us as we go on that discipleship journey? So just going to have a little look. John 15. I'm going to start with verse 1, go through to 5 and 8 as well. So it says this, I am the true vine, and my Father, the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. I'm just going to pause at that point and just point out that this is a fruitful discipleship issue. It's not a salvation issue. See the difference there? Jesus is saying, I've already made you clean. So he's speaking to believers. I've already made you clean. This is how you go on to be a fruitful disciple. If you say you follow me, you need to bear the fruit. So this is saying to people who have been made clean in Jesus. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone know that to be true in their lives? Yep. Verse 8 says this, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." So as I said, it's all about discipleship. If we're following Jesus, and he is our biggest influence and shaping our character, we should be looking more like Jesus. We should be producing some good, tasty fruit. We all know, yeah, if you've been in church for any length of time, you've probably heard this stuff before. Anyone heard this stuff before? Yeah, remain in Jesus, produce fruit, la, 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 la. Very good, Chris. Let's think about the example a little bit more, though. Let's go a little bit deeper. When we think about vines, what's the fruit that comes to mind when we think about vines? Grapes. Right, go with me on this journey. When we think about a vineyard, what is the purpose of the vineyard? To make wine. The end purpose is to make wine. It is not to grow fruit. Go with me on this. There are two things that happen between the grapes and the wine. The first thing that happens is the grapes are taken and they are crushed. The second thing that happens is there is an amount of time that passes. You see that? There is crushing and there is waiting before you get to the wine. Stay with me. Hard times are with us. External pressures. A war that has been going for nearly a year in Ukraine, that who knows where that is going to end and where that could overspill. External pressures are difficult. Every day we hear more bad news about the financial situation and people struggling more and more. My eyeballs popped out of my head this week in Lidl when I looked at minced beef. It's like, oh my goodness, that's expensive. We're not having it. External financial pressures are hitting us all. Health service, education, policing, you name it, doom and gloom. External pressures are high, yeah? And that's before we get to our own internal pressures. That's before we get to our own internal pressures of rejection, disappointment, feeling like we're taken for granted, not feeling like we're worth anything, maybe suffering grief and loss, crushing, pressing, times of waiting when it doesn't feel like much good thing is happening. So I would suggest to you that maybe character goes beyond mere fruit and it's actually fine wine. Because it's been that time of crushing and that time of waiting that our real character comes through. I know for me that is definitely the case. There are times of crushing and pressing and the worst times when God has done the most with my character. I know for me, if I've got a sense of calling and enthusiasm to help people, I'm more efficient at doing that because of the crushing that I've been through. So the empathy is higher because of the crushing that I've been through. And so the very thing I feel called to and what God has given me to do is made better through hard times. And so for all of us, when we're reflecting, we all go through times of crushing, all go through those times of where we cry so much, we're worried, we're dehydrated. That happens to all of us. What is the result of that crushing? Is it the delicious Merlot? Or is it some horrible vinegar that is just really bitter? What is the result when we get crushed? Things can be really painful. And I think for people who feel any sense of pastoral care for other people, people who really have an empathy or want to encourage, have a desire to encourage, and I know there's lots of us in the room today who are in that boat. My favorite scripture in this area is 2 Corinthians 1, 3 to 5, and it says this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles, in all our troubles, sorry, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. If you have any desire to encourage others, if you have any desire to look out for others, we do that from a position of the comfort we ourselves have received from God. It's the only way, because we will run out of our own resources very, very quickly. We know that we have to receive that comfort for ourselves, that when we have been crushed and pressed and that the times have been so bad, and that we look back on those times and we go, do you know what? Yeah, but God was there. I was never on my own. I had an incredible sense of his peace. And do you know what? It's going to be okay. There was hope in the crushing. And so we take that hope and that comfort, and it's from that place that we can bring comfort to others. The scripture goes on in verse 5 there. It says, for just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. Sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but I think you already know we're all going to struggle and suffer and be crushed in this life. We're all going to be crushed at some point. We're all going to go through seasons of crushing. But that's where we share abundantly, abundantly in the comfort that comes from God. And when we go through a season of crushing, that comfort that we look back on, that we receive from Jesus, is the sweetest comfort of all. And so I wonder, for all of us, what are we producing when we're crushed? Are we producing Merlot, or are we producing vinegar? And there's many of us, as I say, we've all experienced crushing. And there will be many stories of God's goodness, of beautiful wine, fine wine being produced. And actually, I really want to honour Mel and Jean Anne, actually, at this point. I'm so inspired by you both, that you have both been so crushed in various times in your life, but the fine wine you have both produced is beautiful and delicious. You are both so generous, so warm and loving, that you love Jesus, you love people, and the crushing you have been through has produced wonderful wine. And I know that I could probably say that of many people in this room. But guys, I want to honour you because you produce fine wine after a time of crushing. For all of us, I'm going to say that there are two types of people in the room today. The first person is a person who's going through a time of crushing right now. You know what it is to be crushed because you are living it right now. You are being crushed. And you're in the period of waiting, in the barrel, in the dark. And the second type of person today is going to be the type of person who is in a fruit-producing season. What's going on in that fruit-producing season? What investments are you making in that fruit-producing season? What are you allowing to influence you in that fruit-producing season, that when the fruit is crushed, it's going to be fine wine and not vinegar? So for both camps, if you're being crushed or if you're in a fruit-producing season, if you're being crushed, how do we look like the Saviour that we follow in a time of being crushed? That's a good question to ask. And if you're in a fruit-producing season right now, a good question to ask is, what are you investing in? What are you cultivating right now to produce tasty fruit and not sour fruit that is going to produce fine wine and not vinegar? So there's three quick things, just practical things that are applicable to both sides and really important on the whole area of discipleship, the whole area of our character, the whole area of how do we deal with all the crushing of life. And the first thing I want to talk about very quickly is identity. Who you are. Everything we do in discipleship has to flow from who we are. We're following Jesus. We want to be more like Jesus. Having a strong sense of identity in who we are is absolutely essential. It is like the cornerstone of building discipleship is who you are. I love the scripture, Galatians 3, 26 to 28. I'm just going to read 26. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. That is who you are. We go back to John 15, and it says, you know, I've already made you clean. This is who you are. If you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, what that means is you are a child of God. And no one can take that from you. It is who you are. It's your foundational cornerstone of who you are. What does that mean? It means that you're never on your own. You are never abandoned or rejected. That you are accepted by your Heavenly Father who loves and adores you. It is absolutely foundational and key and fundamental for us to grasp that truth, for us to understand who we are in Christ, is we're accepted and loved. And so I just want to encourage us that there's going to be another Freedom in Christ course starting in February. If you want to explore this whole area of identity, that is the perfect place to do it. You can do it Sunday evening, 7 till 9 at the office. There'll be an online strand as well. I'd love to see you on that course. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to enjoy ourselves together, enjoy spending time together, enjoying grasping the power and the freedom that comes when we know who we are in Christ. It's life-changing. If you've never done the course, do the course. If you've done it, do it. Let's have a massive fun course together. We need to know who we are in Jesus. The second practical point I just want to throw out there in being disciples who look more like Jesus in character, really important for us to get into the Word. Has anyone heard this from a pulpit before? Has anyone heard that, hey guys, we should really read our Bibles? It does us good because we read things like that thing in Galatians that we just found about that says we're God's children. That's where we get it from. It's the Word. It does us good. I just want to read this from the Word as well. I dare you not to be encouraged by this. Romans 8, 31. Tony's already encouraged. I can sense it. Just mentioning Romans 8 and Tony's smiling. What then shall we say in response to all these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, any powers, neither height nor depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. Amen. How can you not be encouraged when you get into the Word and you read that and the message being nothing can separate you from the love of God? If we have our eyes and our ears and our minds open to what God is saying to us through his Word, we can't not be encouraged. It's right there, sitting on your shelf, saying, pick me up. I've got good stuff for you. I'll leave that one with you guys. You can do what you like with that. Be encouraged or don't. Pick your Bible up or don't. It will do you good. Give it a try. Another thing you would never have, this is revolutionary, right? Prayer. I know, there's some really surprised faces out there. Identity, reading our Bibles and praying. These things are good for us. Yeah? I want you to think about your own prayer life. How's it going at the moment? Is it non-existent? Is it kind of just ticking along? Is it extraordinary? What is extraordinary prayer life anyway? Who wants I would like some extraordinary prayer life. It doesn't always feel extraordinary. Do you know how you get extraordinary prayer life? You start with the ordinary and you add something extra. So we can all have extraordinary prayer lives because whatever your ordinary is, you start there, just add something extra. I'm going to give you two practical suggestions to encourage you to do in the coming weeks and months. Are you open to a suggestion? Good, you're still awake, we'll keep going. Excellent. The first suggestion I want to make is a prayer calendar. We did this as a small group last year, had a great time with it. So what you're going to do, February's coming, get a calendar out, write a name of people you know in each day of the month. Go alternate it between Christians and not yet Christians. And pray, so you go to your prayer calendar, okay, February the 1st, it says Tony Powers. Right, I'm going to pray for Tony Powers. And what I'm probably going to do then is maybe send him a little message. Hey, Tony, how you doing? Praying for you today. Anything I can pray for? And he'll respond and say, oh, thanks, Chris. Yeah, actually, can you pray for this situation for me? Great, I'd love to pray that for you, Tony. Excellent. Maybe I have a word of encouragement for Tony. How would your day be after that, Tone? He's smiling, nodding, very good, Chris, and there's a thumbs up. Who wouldn't be encouraged to receive a message like that? Okay, then we bring some focus to our prayers. And then when it comes to our not yet Christian friends and family, we had a lot of fun with this in our small group. We had some great responses. I want you to, if you want any examples of this, go find Esther or Jake Powell. They've got some great stories on this. I had a really good one where I contacted a guy, not yet a Christian, friend of mine, said, hey, how you doing? Just wanted to know I'm praying for you for today. Is there anything I can pray for? That's what I said to him. He got back to me and he opened up about a big situation going on in his family. Said, yes, please, could you pray for this situation in my family? Who knew our non-Christian friends want us to pray for them? All we have to do is ask them. It was good. We had a good time. We've had loads of good conversations off the back of it. Guys, you take something very ordinary and it can be extraordinary. Who would give that a try? I'm going to do it in February. Who's going to do it in February? There's a few hands, okay? It'd be nice for more hands, but only put your hand up if you mean it, you know. But do it. It's such an easy thing to do, but it bring a focus. You'll be encouraged. You'll have interesting stories. Do it in your small group so you've got people you're talking to about it. It's one of those Bible on the shelf situations. It's right there. It will help. Give it a try. No? Oh, you guys are... We're going down a bit. Okay, need to ramp it up. Okay, final suggestion on the prayer thing. Okay, just give me a little wave if you use the train station semi-regularly or at all, or anyone use the train station often-ish. A few hands yet? Don't worry, I'm not going to ask anything. Okay, there's a few of us in the room who use the train station a little bit. Okay. Some of you might know this, so that in November last year, there were two people who took their lives at St. Neot's train station. Two people in a month in our town at the train station. If you are at the train station regularly, why not prayer walk it? We talk about prayer walking sometimes. That should give us a focus. If we're ever at a train station, got a couple of minutes before the train's there, you walk up and down that platform. That is your prayer walking station. Prayer walk the station. What about as a small group, or get a group of people? When you've got some time, go to St. Neot's train station together, buy a ticket, prayer walk the station, go one stop up, go to Peterborough, busy station, get a nice coffee, get a nice pasty, have a nice time together, prayer walk that busy station. And why don't you, if there's a few of you, just say, right, we're not leaving until we've done one act of kindness each. Help someone lift a pushchair up the stairs. If you see someone maybe look like they're struggling, offer to buy them a ticket. Buy someone a coffee. Who knows what conversations might come up? And you can just say, hey, do you know what? I'm a Christian. I like praying for people. Is there anything I can pray for you today? It's pretty easy, but it's also pretty remarkable at the same time. And it's also quite a lot of fun. Why not do it? Prayer walk the station. There are people who are very desperate. And we spoke about those external pressures and those internal pressures. And sadly, for some folks, that gets to such a point where there is just a loss of hope. And as the church, we should be saying, there is hope. There is hope. However you're being crushed at the moment, there's hope. And I wonder if even there's someone here today who needs to hear that. That however you're feeling crushed at the moment, there is hope. You don't need to do anything as drastic as what I've just described, where people have thrown themselves in front of trains. You don't need to do that. There is hope. And if you know that you're in that situation, I really strongly want to urge you to speak to someone today. If you know that you're in that situation, where you're feeling so desperate that you can't see a way out, please don't leave here today without speaking to someone and saying, I need some hope, because there is hope. I hope that's okay me sharing that, guys. These things are very real, aren't they? And so sadly, it happens so often. Too often. Way too often. And it's such a tragedy. Please ask if you need help. There's plenty of help around. So, what do we do about all of this? I feel like I've said a whole bunch of stuff there. I think the bottom line is, if we say we follow Jesus, we should look a little more like him in character. And there's ways that we can invest in that. And the three simple ways, as I say, are identity, prayer, and reading the Bible. That's all going to help us. That's all going to help us. We need to make a choice. What are we going to invest in? What are we going to allow to influence us? So to close the message down, I'm just going to read a bit of scripture that just sums it up so well. Joshua 24:15 says this, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve." It's interesting, isn't it? If it doesn't seem desirable to you, choose today. Go chase what you think is going to fill the need in you, okay? But then this is the mic drop moment, isn't it? "But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." It's the choice, isn't it? It's the choice of going, do you know what? There's so many options out there, but this is where the power is. This is where the breakthrough is. This is where the hope is. This is where, when the time of crushing comes, where wine is produced and not vinegar. If you are able to stand, I'm just going to encourage us all to stand together. And the band, if they could just come and start playing for us, because I want to just lead us in a time of prayer and reflection. And what I'm going to ask you to do, if you feel comfortable, and check with your neighbour before, particularly if you don't know them that well, if you feel comfortable, to put your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you. If you don't know them, just check and say, is it okay if I just put my hand on your shoulder? If there's anyone standing on their own, either you move or someone look around and see if there's people on their own. Go stand with them and say, hey, can I just put my hand on your shoulder? And let's just start praying together. I'm going to lead us a bit. We're going to use this song in just a moment. And I'm going to encourage you, for as long as you feel comfortable for, keep that hand on that person's shoulder. Because this song says, I speak the name of Jesus over you. And that's the ministry time, guys. I speak the name of Jesus over you. Every situation you're in, I speak the name of Jesus over that situation. But before we sing that together, I just want us to pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Jesus. Jesus, we know that there will be people today who are being crushed. God, we know that there are people in the room who are going through the crushing season right now. And it's painful. It hurts. And there doesn't seem to be a way out. And sometimes, as painful as the crushing event is, sometimes it's the waiting that can be painful. It's both crushing and the waiting. And for right now, we know that there are people who are being crushed and are in a time of waiting, and it really hurts. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. And Lord, we know that there are people who are facing times of desperation, and maybe feeling that there is no hope. You may have your hand on someone right now who is being crushed to the point where they feel that there is no hope. And we just say, come, Holy Spirit. We speak the name of Jesus over every life in this room, every situation. Spirit, the living God, fall afresh. Even just speak the name of Jesus over the person that you've got your hand on. Just say, I speak the name of Jesus over you. The power of the name of Jesus in your life. And Lord, for some of us, we know we need to repent of those times when we reflect and we know we're embarrassed by our character. We know we're embarrassed by our responses to situations. And we have not looked like you, Jesus, in those situations. I'm sorry for those times when I wasn't patient enough. I'm sorry for those times when I spoke down to people. I'm sorry for those times when I objectified someone from the opposite sex. I'm sorry for those times when I've allowed my character to be tainted by external factors. I'm sorry. Speak the name of Jesus over your person. Speak the name of Jesus over you. Thank you, God, for your forgiveness and your life and your restoration. Thank you for the hope and the joy that you bring. Thank you that even in a time of crushing and pressing, that there is hope still. that we are not on our own, that we are your kids. You love us. Thank you that we can be encouraged by the truth of what we find in your word. Thank you that we can live extraordinary lives in the power of Jesus. And Lord, I just pray that now for every person here, every life, God, I pray breakthrough. God, I pray breakthrough now in the name of Jesus. Where desperation seems too much, Lord God, that the crushing seems too much, Lord God, that you will come by your fire, by your power, Lord God, for breakthrough. God, we pray, would you break through in situations, Lord, and as we desire to be more like you in character, God, let's just, we want to taste your sweetness of the comfort that only you bring, only in you is fullness of joy and comfort, Lord God. So our heart's desire is to follow you, Jesus, to look more like you. King Jesus, be glorified in everything we do, Lord God, but we just come before you with every part of our lives. Bits that have been really crushed and hurt. The bits where we're just waiting and waiting and waiting some more. And would your light break into situations now in the name of Jesus? We pray breakthrough in the name of Jesus across this room. God, I pray for breakthrough in terms of rejection, breakthrough in terms of people not feeling appreciated, breakthrough, Lord God, in relationships. God, in the name of Jesus now, we pray for breakthrough. For changes to happen. God, but above all things, we just pray now we will know your presence, your comfort in every situation. Thank you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Just keep praying for the people you're with if you're happy to do that. And I'm going to hand over to the worship team to just lead us. Just keep using this song as a way of ministering to the person you're with. Pray the name of Jesus over them.